The Dana Cortez Show podcast begins now.
So before we get this conversation started with the very, very famous Sean Wayans, actor, comedian, writer, producer, all the accolades, singer-songwriter, I don't know.
No. Not singer-songwriter.
Okay, well, you never know. DJ. Well, let's do a little intro, Anthony, right. As we always do.
Oh, yes. Sean Wayans, we like to kick it off with two claps and a Ric Flair. Are you familiar with Ric Flair?
No.
Ric Flair goes, woo! So what we do to do a little icebreaker before every interview, we go 3, 2, 1, two claps and a Ric Flair, okay?
Woo!
All right, here we go. On three. Three, two claps and a Ric Flair. 3, 2, 1.
Woo! And nice, Sean Wayans is inside the Dana Cortez Show. Welcome.
Threw an extra one in there for you.
I heard that.
How you doing? A little reverb.
That's a DJ skills. That's a DJ skills right there.
Little something.
You know, before I even start about the tour and everything, I would not be a good interviewer without asking you. If it was you up on stage at the Oscars and Will Smith comes up on you and he slaps you, what are you doing?
At first, I'd probably be just like Chris Rock. Like, what the heck just happened?
Okay.
Then he probably won't make it back to his seat without being bit on the back of his head or something. Something crazy. We both would have went down them stairs.
Something would go down.
I commend Chris Rock for his class.
Yes.
And he handled it the way he was supposed to handle it. But I'm just saying, I don't know if I would have had that.
He handled it so well, I thought it was staged at first.
I thought it was staged at first, too. I sure did. Unfortunately, it wasn't.
I know.
Bad moment in our history.
Do you agree with Jim Carrey that he should sue him?
I can't put any more gasoline on this fire.
It is what it is, right? It is what
Chris
it is.
Chris Rock is a friend of mine. I wish him well. And I didn't like seeing Will Smith like that.
No.
Because I'm a fan. I love him too. But
for me, I love comedy so much. And comedians take such a chance being up there. It kind of scared me a little bit because I know sometimes you're roasting folks in the audience and it might give somebody a pass. Oh, I'm going to do that too. But
I keep a bat on stage with me now. So
Have you ever had anybody get upset with you and try to like start some stuff?
I've had people be upset, but security usually
took care of it. Care. But you're a big dude; you can handle yourself.
Yeah, you're not. I was going to say,
and you know, I'm like I said, I'm a thinker. I do my thing.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about something we're going to have a conversation about later on. How do you feel about spanking kids? Just
what?
How do you feel about spanking
what
kids?
What kind of railroad?
I know. It's like,
I have no comment other than the fact that the Wayans family was spanked and we all doing pretty good.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay. Well, Eva Mendes said that spanking a child is the equivalent of a spouse hitting their partner in marriage.
Well, she has some strong feelings about that. I won't get into that. All I'll say is we were spanked and we came out pretty good.
Do you spank your children?
I like I said, I won't get into all
that. Like, I'm not trying to go to jail now.
My kids are doing very well.
That's enough said.
That's all I'll say.
What's the difference in raising children with?
With what?
With privilege, with money, with a different lifestyle. I mean, I didn't grow up. Hopefully one day I'll be able to do that. I mean, I'm being serious. I'm not being...
Parenting is parenting. It doesn't matter how much money you got. It don't matter whatever your situation is. You have to be smart. You got to be an adult at all times. You got to show love. You also got to draw lines. And constantly changing with the time of the kid's life and how you approach disciplining them. And I think you'll end up with some good kids, good human beings. If your mission is to make good children, good citizens, good people in life, then you will be able to do that if you follow those principles.
I love that. Do your children know what kind of impact you've had on American culture? Do they understand it?
They do. They do. And they appreciate it and they love it. And, you know, they're excited and they're proud and all that. But at the end of the day, that's kind of surface. At the end of the day, I am your father.
I'm just dad.
You are my children, and I love you like no other, and I got you. Even when it looked like
that's beautiful.
I don't have you, and I'm being tough on you. Know that it's for your own good.
It's all out of love.
Back to what Dana was saying in reference to like your impact of the American culture. I was actually, me and my good friend Adrian were raised on don't be a menace while drinking your juice. Oh, wow.
That, you were raised on that.
Yeah, oh, man. Ashtray. So Ashtray here giving parental advice. That's
his mom discipline.
You turned out all right. Yeah. If that movie raised you, you turned out all right.
But
Julian,
I'm really tight that I'm meeting one of my comedic heroes and I didn't even have time to get a haircut.
Oh, thank you very much.
I'm sorry about that. I almost went to my side barber, but I didn't think Sean Wayans would want me to do that.
I didn't even think about that. If I'm checking out your haircut, then something ain't right on my end of the field.
Might have to relap on that later.
I'm playing on that field.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think about that, you know, the American, the culture, and I don't want to just say, I was going to say, you know, a certain aspect of the culture, but it really is just American culture. And when you came on a scene, we didn't see anything outside of white families. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. I'm Mexican, and like it was mm-hmm. such a refreshing moment, I guess. And for me to be able to say, oh my gosh, I can do this too.
That's awesome. And that's what we encouraged everybody to do it. They can do it. You know, it's not just about one race doing it all. We all together. That's what Living Color was. It set it off. We made the world laugh together. Blacks, Latinos, whites, Asians.
Everybody.
It was like a party.
Ever. If you watch it today, you're still rolling.
It was a party. We still riding out, you know, based on what we experienced back then.
When did you know you were funny?
My brother told me I was funny. I made them laugh. Those were my meters. I would gauge if I could make comedians who do this every day laugh.
Yeah.
Then I know that I'm good. I got a laugh out of Eddie Murphy one time.
Oh my god!
That's my comedic hero outside of my brother.
That's a pinnacle right there.
Yeah. So I got a laugh out of him, and I was like, okay, I could do this. So
we've had your brothers on the show before, and they all said you're the funniest brother.
All of them.
They're putting pressure on me.
Oh my God! Just take it.
They're putting pressure on me.
But we didn't say. Hey, this other brother did that.
They did that on purpose, trying to be funny. Honestly, I couldn't tell you who was the funniest brothers. I just know that we all could hold our own, and we all respect each other greatly. And they're playing with you.
I got something in regards to it, Living Color's days too. I mean, we've heard people talk about it too. Jamie Foxx's reference, the moment he saw Jim Carrey's greatness was in his trailer when they were going over Ace Ventura. When did you witness Jim Carrey and look at him and say, okay, this guy is going to be something else outside of the In Living Color's days?
During the whole In Living Color process in the pilot, I used to sit there and watch Jim rehearse the sketch, and I'd watch it go from being what it was to what Jim would actually add on.
Would he improv a lot of that?
He improvised a lot of stuff.
The Fire Marshal Bill stuff?
He improvised a lot of stuff, and he was a consummate, hard-working beast. He was a monster, like, in all the best ways possible. And I learned some incredible stuff from watching Jim Carrey.
And you guys gave a lot of, people a shot. I mean, you really think about it. You're talking about, you mentioned Jamie Foxx.
Jamie,
one of the most talented people on the planet.
J-Lo.
Jamie was super talented.
J-Lo? I know.
J-Lo.
What was she like back then? Like, you know,
she was sweet, beautiful.
Still is.
Yep. Sexy. All those things. Talented.
Did you know she would go on to be, I mean, J-Lo is a worldwide star for decades.
She had that fire in her eyes. Like, I'm coming to get this.
Really?
She wasn't playing. We knew she was going to blow up. And we're very proud of her.
And today, while you're out there on stage, you know, we're talking, you know, decades later, you're still killing it. Why do you still do stand-up comedy? You don't really have to. Why do you still go out in front of people and make us laugh?
Because I love it. You do things for love. And I love making people laugh. And that's where the source of all funny comes from for our family is in that stand-up. That's how we all started. And so it keeps us grounded in what's funny, what's happening, what people are laughing at, what they're not laughing at, what they're hissing at. It keeps you, it's like boxing, it's like the gym. So yeah,
that's wild though how times change and you guys are still funny. You know what I mean? Like you're still able to be relevant. You're still able to reach that person, that audience. How do you do that?
Doing stand-up.
You think, okay.
Stand-up keeps you in touch, yeah. It lets you know.
Because if you're not out there with the real people, you're in your little bubble. I get it.
You're in a bubble and you kind of don't know. Things are different than what they were back when we did In Living Color. And, you know, not to say that people won't laugh. It's just
you might have to give it to them a different way.
And what about the next generation of Wayans? Do your kids have a pursuit in comedy or even stand-up?
Yeah,
do they have a passion for that?
My son is working on doing stand-up. He wants to do film. And my daughter's in NYU for film. She's working on
Congratulations.
Film.
Obviously, you did do something right. You said NYU.
I see a little ass up in this
game. I picked up. He threw it out in there. He did NYU.
I got beat you into NYU.
Go
get your ass in NYU. Go on. My older daughter graduated in music from NYU, and my other daughter's in there for film, and she's doing very well. I'm very
congratulations
proud of
all to
my
you
children.
On that.
Yeah, thank you very
much.
Do
you consider your children your greatest achievement, or is that just some people say?
I would say yes, it is.
Man, NYU
obviously doing a great job.
When you put that kind of time in, it means more to you than anything else. And I love my career, and I love the fans, and I love my work, but my children is...
People that don't have kids can't understand what you're saying.
They will.
He doesn't have any kids.
I don't have any kids.
It.
And I'm like, are you sure the Wayans Brothers sitcom going into syndication wasn't it? Because that was amazing. That was
a great professional achievement. You know, that meant the world to me. But my daughter being born... just changed my life.
I don't know if you saw this recently, but Pusha T, remember he had that whole thing with Drake going on, you know, put out that he had a son, all that. He's walking all that back. He's like, oh, I have a son now. I don't want to talk about kids like that because it's different. Once you bring a child into the world, it's just different.
You get so protective.
Yes.
That's all you care about is protecting those children.
It's
and you fight like hell to keep their peace.
And get them to NYU.
Yes.
That wasn't easy.
So I want to switch gears. I had forgot you are a DJ and have been DJing for a long time. I'm a DJ too. But how long have you been DJing for?
I started, my brother gave me his equipment. Damon was the real DJ in the family.
Okay.
Damon
okay.
was nice. Like he could have went professional. Yeah. But he chose comedy, just like I chose comedy. But I wasn't nice at it. I was no, because I didn't practice enough.
You gotta practice. The only way to get better.
He gave me the equipment, and at the time, I was trying to do comedy, and it was just too much for a 15, 16-year-old dude to do. So I chose comedy. And I came back to DJing later on, and now I'm actually really good at it. And I put in the work.
So have you been, like, are you doing dates? Are you?
I haven't done a date in a while, but I've done dates, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Yeah.
That'd be, I mean, kind of like what Snoop's doing now, like where he kind of does, he does rapping and DJing.
Yeah,
can show up and do some comedy and DJing?
Yeah, I've done that before, but in two different venues. What I'll do is I'll do stand-up, and then whatever the local club is books me as a DJ, and I go DJ the night, kind of like an after party.
What kind of music do you like to spin? Like what
old
you...
school music. I love about that old school.
What do you
school...
like? Give us some of the stuff you're playing.
Give me a little bit.
I play anything from Chaka Khan Agbi and Rakim, and you know all the classic stuff.
Nothing but classics.
Classic.
Oh my God. All I can feel the Sean Wayans and DJ Automatic bromance going from here, dude. The DJ.
There's hearts coming out of DJ Automatic's eyes right now.
That's how DJs are. We love music.
Yeah, we love music.
And we love to see people dance and have a good time. It's a beautiful, beautiful art. It's just wonderful to be able to make people dance and laugh.
I love that you say you play old school, though. A lot of times at the clubs now, people don't want to dance. They're just on their phones. They're standing in a corner. And
that's
it's like,
really
get
difficult.
Out on the dance floor.
They're out for a different reason. They're out.
To be seen.
To be seen. Not to be social. They're out to be social media, but they're not out to be social. We went out to be social.
Yeah.
We went out to meet a nice, beautiful girl, hang out with her, get her to dance with each other, and then whatever happens, happens, you know?
But I know the club owners are going to hate this, but bottle service ruined everything.
Bottle service did ruin. It was much more fun with the cups. When they had the red cup, you could get people dancing.
It's true. You get out there, splash on everybody.
It was a more party environment. Right now, it's showy. It's making it look like it's a party environment, but
it's not.
The people that are actually watching, they're going, this party sucks.
Let me tell you, when I'm out, you know how I have a good, you know when you know I'm having a good time? When I don't post.
Exactly.
There ain't nothing about my night out. Because
you actually had a moment.
I was in the moment.
Yes, you're having moments, and you ain't even thinking about letting people know what a good time you're having.
Because I'm having too good a time.
Too busy experiencing it.
We got to get back to that. They're like, why don't you post when you're DJing? I'm like, because I'm DJing. I'm actually
there
working.
There you go. There you go. You're passionate about what you're doing. You want to make people laugh. You want to build a night. You want something that people are going to remember.
What you get at a Sean Wayans show. So that's look facts. It up. He's in your city. You better get out there and witness this genius. I'm serious.
I try. Thank you.
Congratulations on all your success. Continued success, your children's success.
Thank you for your support and love, and I appreciate all you guys. I appreciate everybody showing love to the Wayans family.
Absolutely. Sean Wayans! Yeah. Woo! Yeah.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.